This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, whatever time you guys are listening. Welcome back to The Shift. It's morning time in sunny New York City, first week of May, and the spring has really started to smile upon us here in New York, which has me in the cheery mood. You may or may not be able to hear in my voice, my cadence, and my power of tone. I'm also nervous / excited because this is our first episode with Acast. I had mentioned once or twice that we were making a change, but finally it has happened, and we'll see if that helps get the podcast out to more people, maybe more people outside of Ireland, and most importantly, hopefully, it gets us up on Spotify. The battle continues, but hopefully we'll be up there soon. Anyway, this is The Shift. Katie and I did a great chat with Shane Smith, who's the co-host of the Freaky Geeks podcast. And it was a really fun conversation. One of the rare men that we've had on the podcast. Only our second male guest. And it's just fun. We started off chatting about pubic hair, which, as you know, is a favorite topic of myself and Katie. And then we got into the world of nerd culture and sex and the connections that they have, which is really Shane's area of expertise. Chatted also about not falling in love with your co-host, which Shane may or may not have done. I'll leave the surprise till later on in the episode. And we have a really fun chat about kinks, because they talk a lot about kinks on the Freaky Geeks podcast, particularly BDSM. So if you're into that or curious about that, or read 50 Shades of Grey and piqued your interest in that world, then you definitely need to stay tuned to this episode of The Shift with Shane Smith. And I'll talk to you afterwards.
Yeah.
Can we begin by talking on a general topic that's come up for us a lot?
Yes, please.
Which is pubic hair.
Interesting.
So number one.
Yeah.
Do you have pubic hair?
I run a full Wookiee.
So you're fully hairy. Down.
Yeah. I trim a little because it's like, well, there's
peer pressure. No.
No, I just like don't want. I just don't want just like a thicket of, pubes, you know. But like, so I kind of like trim it a little. But like, it's fine. It's all down there. You know?
Katie.
Yeah, no, I trim a little, just a little. But
you still have pubic hair.
I'm a pube girl. Yeah, definitely.
That's the best.
And I have a full. I have full, but I have to say, only because I've moved back to the United States in the last 5 years, because I'm from New York originally, but I've been back here the last 5 years, only because of a little bit of the pressure of dating American women, I have done a little bit of grooming, but only just a touch of trimming.
Yeah, that's me. Just barely like around the edges, just so that it's not like so insane. Like I don't want to look down and see just like a woman's face engulfed by hair. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't want suddenly this blonde woman has an afro. Yeah, it's like, this is a different woman down there.
I want them to find my clip, but so just a little trim. And plus it just feels, it's like a little more comfortable, I think. But yeah, no, definitely. But I was telling Des that I was at the gynecologist the other day, and she said that there's a huge epidemic of women and men getting genital warts and herpes because they're shaving their pubes.
I don't understand the connection.
She said that it's an extra layer, a barrier, a defense against it. And she had information on the wall that I took pictures of.
That's
And she's also Googled it in the meantime. Now, I didn't know that. I'm just obviously 43 years old, so I have seen the eradication of pubic hair in my lifetime.
That is interesting.
The great pubicide began sometime in the late 90s. But I didn't actually know that there are perhaps negative health effects to the eradication of pubic hair.
It was 96% of Americans had, when they did a study, had were shaving off their, or getting rid of their hair. Yeah,
insane. I will say that I so rarely see girls that have a bush that when it happens, I'll vocalize. Yeah, I'll be like, hell yeah, girl. Like, oh, I'll say something.
The amount of men who've said to me, you're the first woman I've been with that has pubes, is like shocking. I'm like,
It's womanly. Like, I want to be with a woman.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, like, listen, women can do whatever they want with their bodies. I'm totally fine with people who want to shave. But, like, if I had to pick, of course I don't want to be with, like, it's just weird. It's like, it reminds me of a car. Why does your vagina look like the hood of a Ferrari? Like, I want hair on it, you know? Like, it's weird to me.
It was also, as well, that it helps with sex. So for any male or woman who, the hair follicles, there's like nerve endings. So it helps you enjoy sex better.
What?
Yes. And it's a natural lubricant. And
yeah, I didn't get the natural lubricant part.
Oh, let me get my phone.
Just while you're getting your phone, according to Google, according to her doctor, it was herpes and genital warts. But according to Google, it's definitely a protection against genital warts, which does make sense in that, particularly if both people have pubic hair, there's an opportunity to not have skin-on-skin contact in a much wider genital area.
Yeah. I thought to get genital warts, usually you have to, the skin has to break in some way or another, doesn't it? Like,
I actually don't know, but we're just going off of Google here.
Well,
by the way, this just happened. In fact, we hadn't even planned on discussing this with you.
Ooh.
But when Katie said that this was at the doctor, I thought, we've discussed pubic hair too much to not come back with a bit of evidence on what we might be giving up.
She congratulated me. She was like, oh, I was prepared to give you this speech. I can't believe you have pubes. And I just said, I'm a foreigner.
Nailing it.
But, you know,
For the record, most Irish girls do shave.
No, I know. So I can't even be like, I'm Irish. I just say that. I say that to men I've had sex with, and they've been like, oh, you have pubes. I'm like, yeah, it's like an Irish thing, even though I know all my girls shave it off.
Yeah.
But I never knew how to do it. No one sat me down and told me. And I was like, I just was like, oh, that seems like a lot of effort. I just never got into it.
You know what group of women don't shave? Asian women.
Oh, well, yes, that's a fact.
Yeah, I
lived in China for 2 years, and they don't shave. And some of them don't shave their armpits either. But
really?
It's a natural lubricant because the pubic hair helps to control the moisture of the area by wicking it up and away from the skin. So there you go. This decreases the chance of yeast infections and skin breakdown.
Oh. Oh, there you go.
Skin breakdown.
I don't know what that means.
There's the go. I think that's the part that I was trying to, I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
I do shows nowadays, I have various routines where sometimes I talk to somebody in the front row about it. But if ever there's a young man in the front row, I'll ask them, do you shave your pubes? And often some of the older members of my audience will gasp at the shock of asking that question. But then they will die laughing when the 17-year-old is like, yeah, like, of course I shave my pubes. And it's actually a shock for a lot of people, like, in their 40s and 50s, that it's become so normalized. That I think there's an acceptance that young women do, but it's a bit of a learning curve for older people to realize that now young men are doing it, too.
Yeah. Do you think it's porn-related?
But that's the assumption everybody makes. But they can't... There's no proof on that, but it has to be.
Well, yeah.
I've said it before on the podcast, but I honestly just thought that American men had less hair because I didn't realize. I didn't know what manscaping was or whatever. And my boyfriend now is not from here, and he's the first guy I've been with over here that has pubes.
Huh.
That I was nearly about to say it to him when I saw. I was like shocked because I've
really?
Been here, yeah. I've been here 5 years.
Am I just sleeping with polite women who are like seeing that I have so much hair and they're just like, don't say anything, Carol. Just suck it up and just have sex with this guy and get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, somebody said it to me once, like, oh, I haven't met a guy that has pubes in a long time. And I like, what? I will never shave. I had testicular cancer when I was 24. And when I was under, they shaved one side for the operation.
Yeah.
And the grow back period, like, I cannot stand the shaven feeling. Yeah. So I'll have no problem with a trim. In fact, I quite like the neatness of it, but I won't shave.
Yeah.
I'll be waiting for that trend to turn.
Oh yeah, that's weird. I'm also waiting, but in the meantime, I'm gonna run it how I run it. So.
But since we're part of the Pubic Hair Society, we have evidence to say that actually there's a negative health benefit, negative health effects.
Pro pubes podcast. That's what we are. Heightened sensation as well. Come on, it says the nerve ending. So that's for the.
Yeah, I know. I like that. I don't understand. Is that because like
the
from
the hair
from
point?
From the pulling? Okay, I'll sensation in the in
I'll
that
read.
Area.
It says, at the bottom of each little hair follicle, there is a nerve ending. When you brush across each hair, it sends a little sensation down the shaft of that nerve ending. These different from other nerve endings that we have on our skin for the pressure and temperature. All of these sensations are registered together in the brain, the result being the feeling of light touch. Pubic hair doesn't keep... Anyway, basically, it's good, okay?
Yeah, people like when you play with their hair. Oh, so yeah, why would they not like the sensation of... A pube
rubbing. Next time I sleep with a woman who has pubes, I'm just going to reach down and grab them and see how she likes that. We'll see what happens.
I was with a woman a few years ago that had pubes, but it was definitely a thing. Other than my time in China, it was a thing of like, well, but I asked her and she was just like, yeah, I just don't believe in getting rid of them.
Yeah, good for it's so much work too.
Well,
most people just get the laser now, right? Then they don't have to deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
I used to try and do like the sides a little bit, and I used Veet once, and then, oh, do you know what happened to me? Oh my God, it's so embarrassing. I was my Deb's ball, and I was like,
That's her prom.
I'll do like a nice little like square shape, and I put the wax strip on, but it hurt too much. I couldn't take it off. So my cousin was, all my family were downstairs, and I called my cousin up, and she came up and had to rip it off for me. I didn't know. And then I tried to, and I couldn't, and then she ripped it off. So I just had one wonky side half hair bald vagina was
you
not
didn't do the other side
you didn't
no
bother.
I fucking didn't, it hurt too much. I was like, we're done.
so the Debs didn't go the way you were planning.
Yeah, we didn't have sex that night anyway, we were too drunk, so
what. Oh yeah, I guess you can. Yeah, I don't know, you're Irish.
Don't no stereotypes.
No, I mean, you guys can drink when you're 18.
Oh yeah. Well, thank God. We got a few negative comments from people who, when we have like the majority of our guests have been American because we record here mostly in New York. But if they make an Irish stereotype comment, sometimes I get messages back about like, oh,
really?
It's just an Irish stereotype.
It is funny as well because I don't drink a lot, but there are many people here like, okay, so I work in a bar and I'll give out shots for like free, you know, to get a good tip. And they'll be like, where's your shot? And I'm like, oh no, I'm working. And they're like, just have one. I'm like, I actually don't really like drinking. And they'll always be like, you're Irish. That's so weird. I'm like, yeah, but you're not Irish and you're like drunk every day.
Yeah, so. you're like a bar fly.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand how Irish people have the rap for drinking. Has anyone met anyone who's Russian ever?
Yeah, I know. Well, they actually have higher consumption rates in Russia.
Yeah, they're literally drunk always. Why do you think they're wearing those tracksuits? So you can't tell they can just sleep anywhere.
Well, you know why? Because the Irish are, when they're drunk, they're quite extroverted. Yeah. Whereas Russians just like, extrovert is just never a word that you discuss. You know, or like fun. Or like they never look like they're happy. So you assume they're not drunk, you know? So so it's hard to get for them to get that stereotype.
Yeah, you know? If you Google Russians having fun, it's just a video of a guy on fire or something. You're like, what is happening in Russia?
Now our Russian fans are going to be like, hey, enough with the Russian stereotype. Yeah. We know how to have fun. But anyway, before we get too sidetracked,
okay.
So Shane,
yeah,
you have the Freaky Geeks podcast.
Yes. I do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when you tell somebody I have a Freaky Geeks podcast, how do you describe it?
Usually our tagline is it's a podcast for degenerates and nerds.
Right.
So yeah, yeah. It's just we talk about sex and nerd culture kind of together, which are two
together
things that don't normally go together. Which is
unless it's Revenge of the Nerds.
Unless it's Revenge of the Nerds, and
which they've had a look back on that and suggested
controversial,
that.
To say the least.
I have never seen this. Is this a movie?
How old are you, Shane?
I'm 32.
Yeah, but you're obviously part of the nerd culture, I guess, is being aware of the movie Revenge of the Nerds.
I'm very aware of Revenge of the Nerds.
We won't bore you.
Okay.
I'll go watch it.
Go watch it. Keep focused, because it's like a whole other post-Me Too. They've had a relook at Revenge of the Nerds.
And, it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
But you talk about sex as well.
Yeah.
Cool.
Quite a bit.
Good.
How do you marry the two cultures?
So we are both heavily into nerd culture, and then my co-host had done like BDSM photo shoots and porn, and she was really into shibari, which is Japanese rope tying.
Which I only heard about very recently.
Yeah. So, and a lot of women and men do that, not only sexually, but because it's just like a form of meditation, sort of. They just want to be like out of control and hung up, like in a hallway or whatever. I personally don't like that at all. I'm not a fan of being tied up. But so she's into all these things. And so sex and nerd culture are like more married than people think. Because like the cosplay community, which is people who dress up as characters, the people who are the most famous are women who do it in a sexy way. Because of course, anywhere that there's people who are having fantasies about being like strong or brave or powerful or whatever, they're also going to have fantasies about having sex with people who are strong or brave or powerful or whatever. So,
and I guess that makes sense. Fantasy and sex.
And also, as we did the podcast more and more, we realized that nerdy people are nerdy about sex. So, people who are nerdy are like wildly extroverted in the small chasm of what they're interested in, right? So, like, if you're into comic books, people are like hardcore into comic books. I think very few like regular people manage to like drum up that much passion about something, but the people who do also happen to usually be drumming up that much passion about sex. So they're in these like weird niche communities where they like are into BDSM or key parties or shibari or like all these other weird sort of...
Key parties are still a thing?
Yeah, still a thing. Or, you know, whatever they're into. And so we kind of married the both. We just talk about them quite often. But yeah, we're interested in like all these different sex communities. And we've done things like go to the AVNs.
What are the AVNs?
The AVNs are like the Oscars for porn.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah, it was a good time.
What's the
Adult Film Award, the Adult Video Something Network Awards. Why is it named AVN? I don't know what it stands for.
I've seen people Instagramming from there, like Lisa Traeger went there. I noticed. And a few people, you know, from like the New York comedy world have been over there.
I've seen quite a bit. There was some wild stuff going on there. But that place, it's a convention. And so I go to a lot of like nerd conventions like Comic-Con and stuff. And I will tell you that porn convention is the nerdiest convention of all the conventions. It's literally dudes who are like, I loved you in Anal Blasters 9. The scene you did at 3 minutes in was amazing. Like they're nerdy about porn the way someone would be nerdy about Star Trek. It rules.
So let me ask you though, do you put yourself in that level of nerd category about things yourself?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I'm like, I have no ability to like restrict myself. So if I'm interested in something, I just go the whole way. Whatever that part of my brain that's supposed to like stop you is from having the part of your brain that gives moderation is gone for me. Oh, clearly, because I'm just covered in tattoos, right?
Yes.
Like, that's a thing. I wanted tattoos, so I had to get all of them. If I love a woman, I'm going to ruin my life over it.
Hardcore.
If I'm interested in comic books, I'm going to read every comic book I can get my hands on. I'm going to learn everything I can. If I play a game, I want to be the best at that game. If I do comedy, I'm going to go all the way and dedicate my whole life to it. Like,
so in terms of... sexual stuff. Did you nerd out on anything?
Yeah. Okay. So I've tried. So the thing about sexual stuff is you try everything, right? And then, or you want to nerd out. So you're like, I'm going to try BDSM. You're like, uh-oh, not for me. That was a horrible plan.
You weren't into that.
No. So I'm
not into that either.
So it turns out like everyone thinks I'm like this crazy sex guy and I'm super vanilla. Like I don't want to get hit. I don't want to like put in work for sex. Like there are people who get off on like, they're like, boss me around while you're at work. And you're like, what? That's so much. I'm not even with you. And we have to do sex stuff. Like, that's too much.
Yes.
So there's like.
So you don't really. You wouldn't put yourself in having any kinks category.
I mean, I have kinks, but they're like really small. You know, they're not like. I mean, there are communities of people based around certain kinks, but my kinks are like silly compared to people who are like their lifestyle is a kink. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my kinks are like stupid stuff. Like I like drool and spit. Like,
oh, you just drool on her?
No. Like a girl, like if a girl's giving you head and it's like really like gross, you know,
or like just a sloppy blowjob.
Yeah. Nice. Or like, I like female orgasms or something. Like I get off on.
Yeah.
So like, if a girl's like not quiet, or if a girl's quiet or like reserved during sex, like we're not gonna date. There's no way.
No. Okay. So just out of curiosity, would you say to her, "I prefer if you were a bit more vocal"?
Yeah. I would be like, I don't know that I would in that moment because it seems maybe inappropriate, and it could be my fault, right? That I'm like not doing a good job. I'm open to the fact that maybe I'm not doing a good job. So I would be like, I think, but before I had sex with someone, I would have told them all the things I was into. I'm way big on like communicate all your sexual proclivities before sex. That way you're all on the same page, and if it doesn't work out that time, you 100% know that you just don't have chemistry. There's no like, well, we should stick around and waste each other's time for another 2 weeks, and I'll kind of tell you what I'm into. Like, no. Tell her everything. Get in there. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
We're big fans of communicating on this podcast, but yes. Do you really feel like you should say everything straight away? You don't keep a couple of things in the – when we're getting bored ahead – other stuff.
I don't think so. I'm an all or nothing guy.
So you just let it all out on the table.
Oh yeah. Yeah. If we start talking about it, I'll just lay it all out.
But so you wouldn't do that on a first date, would you?
Unless we were talking about sex.
Yeah, unless it came up naturally, right?
Yeah. I would never, I don't think I would like, if we were just on like a first date and I didn't think I was going to go home with her, I definitely wouldn't steer the conversation that way.
Yes.
Because that would just be, you know, then it looks like you're trying to do something weird.
That would freak me out.
It's so hard to talk about sex in a way that's like clinical when you don't, because you have to. Like that communication is so important. But you also don't want them to think like, I'm just a sex guy. I'm here for sex. Like,
yes. No, I would never bring it up on a first date. However, I have had a few first dates where the woman has brought it up and then.
And been like, oh, I'm into this.
Well, it just becomes a fun sexual conversation. Oh. But I do think that's a sign that they're probably getting a good vibe from you anyway.
Yeah.
But I would never bring it up.
Very often for me, it ends up we talk about it before we even go on the first date. Like via text.
Oh, via text or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sexual. Because it's funny. I've never once said the word to myself, this woman is a creep. But I would always be concerned that might be said about me, which is an interesting thing in the sexual dynamics of life. That a woman is never really worried about being considered a creep, is she?
No, they're not. My favorite thing is to like call girls out for being creeps.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and it happens all the time. I mean, my DMs have some horrific stuff in there. I mean,
like, give us an example, an anonymous example.
Yeah,
you can say anything here.
It's
safe.
Gross.
Okay. Safe space.
Okay.
I'm excited.
So like, I'll tell you one of the grossest things that ever happened to me. This girl was like, I'm way into you, blah, blah, blah. And she was in my message request. I ignore it. I was like, whatever. I'm not interested in this. Then she sends me a video and I was like, I wonder what this is going to be. And I click it and the caption before the video was said, sorry for the blood. And then it was just her with you know what a rabbit is?
Yes.
The dildo, and it spins. And she's just a close-up shot of her just drilling herself, but she's it's shark week to the maximum. And it just like is gurgling blood. And I know that's not the word you want to hear, but imagine how I felt when I saw it. And I'm just like at Trader Joe's or whatever trying to shop, looking at my phone like, what is happening to me right now? It was so gross. I couldn't believe. And she genuinely thought I would be into it. I've had girls send me photos of them with like pens in their butt. randomly. This is cold. They're cold open.
Wait, that's like a comedy writing reference or something?
I don't know, but that's pretty good. I never thought of that.
She's like, so, you like pens?
If there had been a video of her trying to write like hello with a pen in her butt, I would have been like, I gotta I'm talk to you.
but don't you think that part of that is that you have this Freaky Geeks podcast?
Yes.
And some people actually get quite horny listening to it.
Possibly, yes.
And I think then they just think, fuck it, I'm gonna get off on sending this random guy that I've been listening to this thing.
I'm super vocal on the podcast about like, dude, don't send me weird stuff. Like, if you're gonna come at me, like, you gotta open better. You can't just butthole me. Yeah. Close up of your butthole? No. No. I don't even know what you're... Here's the thing. If my girlfriend sent me a photo of her butthole, awesome. You know, I'm going to get, that's a one course of a 3-course meal. I'm going to get in there later. But like, I know what her face looks like. There's so much context behind that
her,
butthole.
Full stop.
Yeah.
I had a funny one time. Back in the day, I used to use Snapchat a lot until they like changed it, you know, and then I stopped using it. But it's quite personal, you know? And like, people started like messaging me, which was totally fine. But you get a lot of weirdos. They send you weird shit. Sometimes a guy sends you a pic of his dick and, you know, whatever. So, this one time, I was actually, coincidentally enough, still with my Chinese girlfriend at the time. She was visiting Ireland. And somebody sent me, I opened this Snapchat, and it's a video of this guy fucking, like, show me his balls. So I immediately stop it, because I don't want to see this guy's balls. But then I say to Shrinchen, I was like, actually, just so you know, like, this is the type of shit that fucking comes to my Snapchat, right? So which is never good, because now he goes, oh, he rewatched?
Yeah.
So you know, you have to press it to get the watch again.
Yeah.
So I press it, and we both watch it. What I didn't realize was, it's not a video of his balls. It's a video of his balls. And then as we're watching it, he shits.
No!
Took a shit. And poor Schwenstrom was like, oh, what the?
Oh, no. Really giving her an education there.
Oh, my
there.
God. Was that a sexual thing?
It might have been.
I don't know, Katie. I don't know.
I feel like that's something you do when you're mad at someone. Here's my shit.
No, that's just a weird. It was a man, obviously.
Some people are into scat.
Weird, right, yeah.
Or just like sending you stupid stuff.
Or they're just trying to be gross. Yeah, was he laughing?
You know what? I don't think I had the audio up.
I would make me feel better if he was laughing. But if it was dead silent, I'd be like,
I think there would be an element of like a sick humor.
Yeah.
Thing to that.
Some people are into that. I've had girls ask me to do some wild stuff.
So this Shibari thing, is it Shibari?
Yeah, I think so.
That seems to be getting more and more popular.
It is.
Can you give us a...
There's like an art component to it that is just like in vogue right now. So people are really into just like how it looks in photos. Because, you know, every third girl is a model, right? Which is fine. Take photos of yourself. Enjoy your body and your face or whatever. But like...
So can you describe it?
Yeah.
So what it is it's really popular because it's Japanese rope tying. And it's like an old tradition. There's a very specific way you do it. But they kind of tie the ropes on you and tie your – and you could have your hands tied in front of you, behind you. Often they'll like hog tie people so their hands are tied to the back of their heels. And the ropes like intertwine around your body to cradle you in such a way that you are not hurt by them. And then they can hang you from like a ceiling. And I think, and don't quote me on this, but I think that the idea was that you would be tied and then now you're ready for public consumption. Was the concept
like public consumption? As
people. That's where I came from originally.
You're tied up and you can't move, and now your mouth and other orifices are just you're dangling. Like, oh, I'll have a little bit of her and a little bit of her.
Oh, like people could just like sexually.
Sexually, yes, okay. Yeah. There's a sexual component, but there's also a component, almost like a weighted blanket, where people. They're often naked when they do this, but sometimes they keep their clothes on and they just kind of enjoy the. Being out of control. There's like an ASMR component of like when you get a haircut and it's nice, you know, of someone just like being attentive to you, tying you, making sure you're okay, hanging you up. Like there's a lot of weird, and I say weird in a loving way, like kind of stuff going on that so many people enjoy different aspects of it. But there is a very sexual part of it. It's a sexual thing. Even when you look at someone with their clothes on tied up, there's a part of you that's like something in your primate brain is like, that's sex stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So. Sounds kind of relaxing, though, as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's supposed to be. And
but there's quite a lot of skill to the tying, isn't
so, that right? So, so
my
much.
Friend did like a whole course on it.
Yeah, yeah, there's people who are like masters. And the way they tie you is often like very like sexual, like with your breasts out and the ropes are around your breasts and you're like tied with your hands behind your back and the rope is like wrapped around your thighs to accentuate your ass and like,
wow.
And then your hoo-ha is just open for business or whatever. And there's all these different ways they tie people up. It really does look cool. There's something about it when you look at it, you're like, that's awesome. Like, if I was a billionaire, there would just be a room with these ladies in it. Like, that's what it would be, you know?
This is my lamp, and yeah. This is my lady hanging up. Yeah.
So your partner in the podcast is into that.
She is. She has, like, a bunch of photos on our Instagram of her tied up, like, hanging off of a balcony of a hotel tied up and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's a danger element.
I think there's a danger element to it, too. Just like with all BDSM, it's like the idea that you're in danger, but you're not in danger. People love that.
Yeah.
So that's like the whole, you have to have a safe word because I want to say the word no. Because it feels good to say no and not be listened to sometimes.
Did you get tied up in this?
I've not been tied up.
Okay.
Yeah, I hate being tied up. Right. I don't know how serious. This is so depressing, but I was tortured as a child. So I don't like to be anything that involves me being tied up or hit by a woman or anything like that. Not a fan. So.
But, oh, you were abused by your mom? Is that it?
My family in general. Yeah.
Oh,
I had a nightmare childhood.
Jesus.
So. Yeah, I don't like BDSM on my end. I'm okay with like. I don't know. Like, I'll do stuff to you if you want me to, but like, I only like it because the girl would get off on it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, let's have regular sex.
Yes, I love regular sex.
But I like it in the exact same way that you like it. I'll do elements of physical stuff like violence to you if
yeah.
that's your bag, yeah. and I'll get off on you liking it.
Exactly.
But it adds nothing to me other than your enjoyment.
Exactly.
It makes me enjoy it more.
I do like when someone has like a thing, because you can be like passionate and like very extroverted in your sex, and I do like the juxtaposition between like love and passion and filth in like degeneration, right? That's mm-hmm. fun.
So yeah, well, especially because you it's possible. I think you can be in a loving relationship, but also still have the wildness of the shit that you're into.
Yeah.
Yes. It doesn't always have to equate with the loving part of your relationship. It is just a fun thing.
I feel like the longer in a relationship I am, the more freaky the sex gets, because I get more comfortable. I'm like, oh, let's try this.
Yeah, that's super healthy.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it should be, I think. But
that was my concern about you chucking it all out on the table straight away.
Is not saving anything.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like as time goes, like
new shit comes up.
Well, yeah. And what you want to discover more together. And there's also like an aspect of I can say all of my proclivities, but you don't have to give me them or even be interested in them. And as time goes on, maybe you would be more interested. Like, I was never interested in like choking the life out of a woman while I have sex with her. But then I dated someone who was like, choke the life out of me. And then over time, I was like, this is hot that you like this so much.
Yes.
So
We definitely try to push on this, particularly because in Ireland, I think people are less inclined to be vocal about what they like. We really push people to like let it out,
yeah,
what they're into,
yeah,
and to not be ashamed of it.
Definitely. It's so weird. That's like me saying like I'm into spit. That's like a very, very, very like small thing that I think maybe some guys or girls would like see in porn, or they would see it in real life once and be like, oh, that kind of like got – that was kind of fun for a second there. But then they wouldn't know themselves well enough to ask for it later or be like, I'm into that. And like, you can be into shibari, which is this huge big thing, but don't also forget that there's like little things you could be into. Like, people yeah. like ask someone to twist your nipples if that's your thing.
Yes, bite
yeah.
or bite or not bite.
Yeah,
or,
yeah. Or yeah. if you like when someone moans in a certain way, or you like lips. Like, I think people forget the small stuff too. Like, are you weighing them out? Like, suck on my fingers. Like,
oh, that's so true. The small things. Yeah, just even something like someone licking your nipple. For one person, that's like really uncomfortable. And for another person, that like helps you come quicker.
Yeah. I like to touch someone's face. like when you're like making love to someone, like being able to touch their face and like be close to them. And like, I think that some people wouldn't even realize they're into that to ask or to do it. Yeah. Like, pay attention to the little things you like and indulge yourself.
That's so great. What a great, I'm very happy now. Pay attention to the little things.
Pay attention.
I'm like, no, wait, no, I'm gonna say, oh, there's something else I like that I haven't been saying. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
I kind of like eye contact during sex sometimes.
Yeah,
say it. Like, say, really
look
intense.
Look at me in my eyes.
Look at me when I'm fucking with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've met some women in my time that really like the, like just the soft fingers. Like, has to be like soft fingers for ages.
Oh man.
And they're just like, I fucking love that.
What are soft fingers?
You know, just like tickly, you know.
Oh.
Like, as like a preemptive thing or during?
No, as a preemptive thing.
Okay, yeah. I was like, are you doing like a tantric thing?
But then they
thing?
Think I like it. And I literally have to be like, I'm really just not like into that.
Yeah, it tickles.
Yeah, it just tickles me too much.
You're like giggling.
Especially afterwards. Sometimes afterwards they think it's like really tender.
Oh, no,
and I'm God. Just like, oh God, you gotta get the fuck away from me right now. like the opposite of what I need right now.
Yeah. Then it's funny. I like to be like really tender and loving to someone, but I want someone to be aggressive with me.
Yeah.
Like, it's the opposite.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
I'll be like lots of like before and after care. Like, I'm all into like, I'll be like really loving, like, I'll, you know, fingers and all this stuff. And then for the girl, like, what I want is for us to be grocery shopping and for her to like push me into the bathroom and be like, it's happening now.
Okay. Like, well, that's much more the male desire.
Yeah, right? You just like want to, I think men don't feel desired very often or like good about, how often do guys get told they're handsome? Yeah, like, how many regular guys? You're a genuinely very handsome guy. That's, like, unfair.
I'm kidding.
But, I mean, so many regular guys. Like, I have so many, like, friends who live in the Midwest or the West or whatever. And, like, I know their wife just never tells them they're good looking or makes them feel sexually desirable. Or it's just, like, not in the culture.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in my life, I have had women say, you don't tell me that I'm sexy enough or whatever. But it would be very rare. I don't even think I've once seen in a Hollywood film a man saying, you never say that I'm good looking.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say
you will say it?
Oh, yeah. I'm huge on like physical and verbal affirmation.
Me too. I completely agree.
I'm constantly like touchy, feely, and being sweet. And some people think that's annoying, but like it's my way or whatever. But, and I'm also verbally constantly like always trying to like, oh, you look so pretty today. Oh, I love this about you. Like, again, it's the all in, all or nothing part of me, but I'm like hyper into it. And if I don't get at least half back, I'm like, fuck this. I don't like that.
No, I'm the exact same. I tell the guy I'm dating now that he's handsome every day, but I like that. I like reassuring people. I like them feeling good and I want to hear it back. I want to hear that I'm hot and that you like me. I love all that.
But it's quite nice how confident and sure of yourself you are that you really think this motherfucker's handsome, because you bring it up a lot, which is great.
He's so handsome.
Yeah.
We went to a
I sometimes feel like you say it in a way that's like, how have I done so well?
Well, I have consistently dated ugly folks. I can't believe I was brought up on Disney, and I'm telling you, I think there was something in my head that I thought ugliness equated good personality. I know that, and then you can be ugly and have a good personality, but I think there was something with me that I was like, and women in general, we can go, we don't need to be we're attracted more to like smells or hair, you know, or like, I always go out with guys who are good crack or like good fun. And then they turn out to be a little mean. And I'm like, oh, but your face, you can't be mean with a face like this. Why are you? And then my boyfriend is he's so handsome. We went into a comedy show and four male comedians walked up to him to tell him how handsome he was. And one goes, you're too handsome. Someone walked away. People stop him on the street. It's like he's so good looking, but he also treats me so well. And he, in his head, he's like, I'm not. He'll go, I'm not good looking. I know what you're talking about. But he's also just a really nice.
But that's what you need. You need a good looking guy with low self esteem.
It's great.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Bingo.
And I like building up his. I like being like, no, look at your face. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But we were on the train and there was a few guys staring, and he was like, this happens to me a lot. People stare at me, and I think it's because they like, I don't know. Is there something I'm doing? Is it? Do I give off an aggressive look? And I'm like, no, it's because you're so fucking hot.
It's literally the opposite of why people stare at me on the train.
No, because you got cool to you're a cool looking dude.
So many people, I thought moving to New York, people would be like super cool about the way I look, like they wouldn't even care, because I'm from Salt Lake. Like, people in Utah, I'm just like an alien to them. Like, it's crazy. People have like physical reactions to me there, and it is the same here. I thought everyone would be like, oh, it's New York. I see stuff every day. Like, there are ladies who are just like, oh, like trying to get away from me, and like people are weird.
Okay, but I wanted to ask you this. So have you not met women that are, their thing is tattooed men?
I hate that.
Oh, you hate that?
I despise it. And it's only because I've dated so many, I have a certain look, and there are lots of people who are into what I have, and what I have is not readily available. There are not a lot of guys that look like I do that are like put together, right? And so the girls who like the way I look, they like come at me pretty hard, and they're just never the types of girls I want to date. I don't want to date someone who's with me because I have tattoos.
So you don't want to be somebody's kink.
I don't want to be someone's kink.
You want to help them with their kink, but not be it. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I want someone to want me, not to need me. And I feel like so many girls are like, I don't want to date guys who don't have tattoos or whatever. Like, I would rather date like a regular. I much prefer a girl with no tattoos who's not interested in alternative culture. That's a huge turn on for me.
No tattoos and not interested in alternative.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want her to like be like into, because I ended up looking like this because of like hip hop and hardcore and like alternative, like punk rock. Like, I would rather have like Katie, you're it. You're like the type of girl I would go for sure. So like regular, like just like girls who are smart and like fun and just like not weird. And again, I say weird in a loving way.
Yes.
But like, I have so many friends who look like I do that are women, but it just has never gone well. I always feel like a token, or like a, like their little, like something they show off.
Interesting.
But also that's a huge part of that must be because if they're into tattoo men, they're already, it's like when you, it's the same as when you meet up with someone off Tinder and you already have a version of who they are.
Yes.
So you're never going to be, because that's not you. They already have a idea of what you should be or who you are based on this wanting tattoo guys. But yeah, I know.
I was married to a woman who was like way, way into the way I looked. And I felt like, because she lied to me quite a bit to keep me around. And I felt like a lot of that was like, she didn't want to lose me for a lot of reasons. But some of those reasons were like, where am I going to find another guy like this? You know? And I don't think a guy who doesn't have like the niche look I do would deal with that necessarily. Mm. You know? So it just really bothers me. I don't like that.
Because there is a kink associated with tattoos.
Absolutely,
right?
Dude. Yeah.
So you've gone into that.
When I'm on tour, I can't tell you how many like churchy girls want to slum it one time with a guy that looks like me. It's bananas. Like, it's absolutely bananas how many girls are into the way I look very specifically. I've had girls come to shows wearing like a trench coat and they'll just be like, this is my lingerie. Where's your hotel room? Like, let's do this.
And do you go?
No.
Okay.
No, I've never done that.
You're a stronger man than I.
I think
the most.
If
a girl came up to me and was like, I just need to be fucked by a gray haired guy, I'd be like, okay.
I'm here to help.
I'm here for you.
I think that maybe there are situations where I'd be like, oh, hell yeah. Like, girl, you doing it. Like, but these girls aren't like put together the way.
They're not like, your thing.
They seem
they're
a bit
not
mess.
My thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They seem like a mess. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Or like they're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And I'm just like not interested. Or sometimes, very often, they've been drinking. And I will not sleep with a woman who's even a little bit drunk.
That's
that right?
So wise.
Yeah, not interested. Well, I'm sober.
Okay, good.
But it's so also not hot. Drunk people aren't the best.
No, it's so unattractive.
It's
smoking,
very messy, and I think they're going to break my dick half the time.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that experience where they're so drunk? They're drunk to the point where you're like, you're not really aware of, you know, where it begins and ends. You're going to fucking crack it in half.
Yeah. It's like a girl grab onto it.
No. Like when they're, like, particularly if they're on top of you and they're drunk, they can be a bit too, like, a bit too haphazard with the movement.
I've never had fun drunk sex. You're just kind of flopping around and you're like, nah, who's going to go to sleep first?
You know? As a comic, bail on this? I meet so many other comics who are like, who has sex sober?
You're like, oh my God. What are you too. Saying? One of my friends, she'd never had sex sober. And I was like, I only have sex. I was like, you need to have sober sex. And she was like in her like 20s and an American. And then she Yikes. Did. And I got a text message one night being like, oh my God, this is so much better. I'm like, yeah, of course.
No kidding.
Oh, can you guys keep chatting? I really need to pee.
No, yeah, yeah.
I had a long drive here and I was drinking a lot of fluid. I apologize. Keep
yapping. No, don't apologize. Enjoy. Everyone's got to pee. He's going to take out his perfectly uncut penis.
I know, right?
And he's going to
use
it.
Is your penis cut? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why.
Expertly. They did such a good job.
How do you feel about that?
I like it.
You do?
Yeah, I like my penis.
Good for you.
Yeah, I really lucked out on the penis part. I think about that so often. I've had so many, like, I've had so much bad luck in my life, but sometimes I look down at my penis and I'm like, it's fine. I know so many guys that are like self-conscious and bummed out.
But I mean, like, so I guess you could never know the difference because you never had a skin. It's just so bizarre. The whole, I never heard of no foreskins until I guess, or maybe I just didn't think about it until I moved here.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's a big thing. When I was in Europe, I would meet girls and they would be like, they would either find out I was Jewish or find out I was American and they'd be like, and they would be like, so you're cut. Yeah. They would just like bring it up.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, yes. And they're like, what about that? Like, they wanted to know more, and I was in France, and I was like, you can absolutely know more, French ladies.
Oh, yeah, come
yeah,
on.
I shared the culture, for sure. It was awesome.
And do they do that just in the hospital all the time here?
All the time. It's the parent's choice.
Oh.
I think that originally there was an American medical doctor that, because if you don't get circumcised, there are health issues.
Really?
That can arise. Yeah, yeah. There are some, and I don't know I don't know all the arguments, but like your foreskin can fuse together as you get older, and then you'll have to have surgery on your penis to cut
is
it
this
open.
Some Jewish propaganda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About foreskin.
There is 4 million people in Ireland. I don't think we've ever. That
no,
would be
most
news.
Of the world, like a lot of the world, is not circumcised.
Yeah, most the majority vast.
Americans, and then. I think do Muslims circumcise too, right?
No.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Okay, so yeah, the majority of the world's not circumcised.
The majority of the world's not. So there are like, I think that there are places in Africa where it's traditional to circumcise. As you get older.
Ooh, that is traumatic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, some guys, I know people, and I certainly know people who know people that got circumcised due to like peer pressure and the fact that in porn, mostly guys are circumcised and they just feel like it's better to be circumcised.
How bummed out would you be if you got circumcised like 8 years ago because of porn and then Kieran Lee is like the most popular porn star? And
really?
Uncut.
Uncircumcised? Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's Kieran Lee? This sounds...
Kieran Lee, he's a British porn star.
I was about to say it sounds Irish. Okay, British.
Yeah,
yeah,
or Irish. He might be Irish. I don't know. He has an accent. You don't hear him talk a lot.
I'm going to look him up. we'll look him up.
Yeah, yeah. He's very popular. He's a really nice guy, too.
Aww.
Yeah, yeah. But he's uncut. And he's like, he really lays down the hammer.
Okay.
Chicks seem to like him.
I still haven't watched porn. I'm going to watch porn.
You still haven't watched
you
porn?
What?
That's an episode we're waiting to do.
What?
I just said
porn like it's Game of Thrones.
You know, well, you know what? Well, okay, because.
Speaking of which.
Pretty good.
Pretty. It's coming soon. few hours.
I'm not watching it. I watched one episode. At
no,
the
you
start.
Were supposed to get. You're supposed to get a recommendation from Shauna.
Oh, I'm talking about Game of Thrones. Sorry.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
no, sorry. No,
you're talking about porn.
You're supposed to get a recommendation from Shauna.
Well, I guess.
Supposed to get a recommendation from Shauna and watch porn. We're gonna talk. That's actually an.
I
we're gonna do that as an app.
What kind of porn do you think you would want to watch?
Ladies.
Really.
Ladies together.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I can give you all the recommendations.
I'm pretty sure I'm like straight, but I'm like, I don't know. I think it's
so
like hot.
Watch. This is a real thing. Most straight women watch lesbian porn.
Yeah, I already said this on the episode before, but there was a lady sex scene in one of those David Lynch movies.
Yeah, it was Mulholland Drive. Great
anyway,
sex scene.
That was like, oh, if I watch porn, I'll watch this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So quite a normal looking dude, Kieran Lee.
Yeah.
Let me see. Give us a cue.
This is him. Like his. That's Kieran Lee there. But there's no picture of his penis.
Oh yeah, he's not super hot.
No.
No. But
anyway,
you know, he's got a piece.
He's a nice man. He's got a fine penis, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is.
He does, and you know, of course, if you're in porn, there's so much more to it. You've got to be able to maintain an erection for hours, come on command, come more than one time often.
Wow, so there is a whole like talent to it.
Oh yeah, it's like super, super difficult. Wow. If you want to do porn and you're a guy, my suggestion to you is invite five of your friends over and see if you can get hard and masturbate in front of them. And if you can, then you can do porn. And if not, then you're not cut out.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I know that was partially my fault that I went up and we started talking about uncircumcised penises. But
yep.
But I've two more things I really want to talk to you about. Number one is before we move off the kinks completely, on your podcast, what are the kinks that get like the most response from your listeners? Like when you discuss a particular topic or a kink?
Oh, BDSM, 100%.
And like, is there an area of BDSM?
Just like dom and sub.
Oh, right. Okay.
Like people who just want to be like a dominated in the bedroom. Not necessarily in, because there are people who like it in life. That was back to the earlier when a girl's like, tell me to get in the kennel while you're gone. And it's Jesus. Like, no, that's too much work.
Yeah.
But like there are people who, you know, they want to be like flogged or tied up and whipped or hit or choked, or you know, they want to be properly dominated in a safe setting during sex. That's the most popular by like a huge margin.
And being dominated is more popular than being the dominator?
Yes, right. By far.
There is a great TV series now on Netflix that's really pro domination bonding. It's a comedy.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I've heard that a lot of people in the actual dominate or BDSM community don't like it.
Oh, never mind. Well, I'm not on the community, so I won't know. Sorry, BDSM. Love
but
you.
But being dominated is really the kink.
Yeah. I would say more people want to be dominated than want to dominate. Like, especially women. So many women want to be like, even light. Like, if you're a girl and you like to get choked, then you're like in the realm.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so let me ask you this. So is it then that a lot of times the dominator is just playing the role, that they're not really getting off on it?
Yes.
So that's more common, huh?
I think that's more common that they're playing the role and not getting off on it. Most people I know who like really get off on doming are like, I don't know. I don't think I like that personality type too much. There's just something like unsettling about it.
Even if it's a woman?
Especially if it's a woman.
Right.
I feel like she has like a weird chip on her shoulder often. And this is out of pocket. Like, I realize some people might be like, that's not me. And that's totally fine. But my personal experience has been that a lot of the women who are like way into doming are specific about wanting to dom men. And there's like a humiliation aspect to it that they enjoy so much that it's like something's going on in your life. I'm glad that you're working it out this way. And of course these men are consenting, so like everything's on the up and up, but like maybe also go to therapy.
Yeah.
Well, because we've learned about the, you know, people who like to humiliate without consent.
Yeah.
Or certainly people who get off on humiliation, which you see a lot in the Me Too game. It's just like this weird humiliation behavior.
Yeah. Yeah.
So clearly some people have a weird thing about humiliation, but in the sense of a female dominating a man and getting off on that in a consensual way, it feels like the safe, the non-criminal version of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, probably comes from a similarly dysfunctional place.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah, I think so too. By the way, real quick side note, the humiliation thing, so many people are, that's their kink, it's being humiliated. And it's a very common male kink. Often when men send women dick pics, it's to goad them into humiliating them publicly. Then they get off on it. Very often when you're like, because any normal, rational adult person is like, why would you ever send your dick? That makes no sense. But very, very, very often they want to be humiliated.
Oh, so the guy wants to be humiliated.
Because
my understanding was, so just say in recent arguments about, masturbation. So I thought that the kink was that they got off on the humiliation of women. That the woman's discomfort was actually the thing that they were getting off on.
Yeah, I think usually it's them, the fact that they are being humiliated, that the woman hates them or thinks they are gross.
Oh.
It's more inward and less outward.
Oh, but that's a misunderstanding
usually
by me.
Usually kinks that have to do with power are like their own power being exerted are like different. But I mean, that could play into it too.
But isn't it also risk as well, which is hot? So risk. It's the risk that they might share it or they might not.
Big into risk. But yeah. Risk can develop it. Like that can be just like a side part of it, right?
Mm.
It's just like naturally exciting. Like stand up, we all like stand up and there's a risk element that like feeds us, but that's not any of our driving force, I would doubt.
Yeah.
So it kind of is just like the bonus cherry on top for most people.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, the humiliation part is that's weird. So like when a guy sends you a dick pic, that's why sending it to his mom is so funny, because it like messes up his life. Whereas when you just publicly blast him, then maybe he's like, yeah, that's what I wanted
that's
the whole
what you
time.
Wanted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because why else would he do that?
If it's unsolicited.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And I just out of curiosity, because I do want to, as our podcast evolves, I do want to talk to some like psychiatrists that specialize in sexual dysfunction. But
yeah.
Did you happen to come across just any sort of casual studies on why men are sending dick pics other than this humiliation thing? You know, the fact that like a guy will have three messages on Tinder and then boom, a dick pic.
No idea. I have a, my friend, his name is Mac Arthur. He's a comic. He has a good joke that says, he goes, people send dick pics because if you send 2,000 dick pics and one person responds, you're going to send out 3,000 more.
Oh, right. So in other words, like if it's one like person is like into game. The dick pic thing,
yeah.
Then it's like fast forward to intense, you know, video sex or whatever, you know.
Yeah, if they're into it, then you're in.
Yeah, right. I've never, well, I asked for a dick pic recently, just because it was like fun. I was like, send me one. But we're in a relationship, so that's different.
But here's the thing. What doesn't get discussed is the casualties of your search, which is the hundreds of women that
exactly
are horrified by your dick.
Yeah, so it's, I think that's like, it's awesome that we're all connected, but it's also horrific that we're all connected, because it's just like, I said, especially here in the city, man, I cannot imagine what it's like here, where you could see a woman and just never see her again for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Where I'm from, you see a woman, you're probably going to run into her again.
Yeah, or her family. There's a connection.
Eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though Salt Lake City has like 2 million people, like that's not that many when you really get down to it. Especially in your neighborhood is so much smaller than it is here. I could send a dick pic and never worry here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I couldn't. But a guy who doesn't have like an online presence 100% could just be wild.
Yeah, that's come up a lot, the lack of hazard.
I had a dick pic sent to me on the train, an AirDrop.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
You know I have a routine about that.
No.
That's very funny.
Oh, I have a whole routine about the AirDrop.
Right. Did you do it in Ireland? Then I must have heard it, but that happened to me recently.
That might just be trolling.
No, but they're passing a... No. They're legislating against that.
Yeah, I fucking...
So the routine, when I was doing that topical comedy show, it was a news story of the week. So they've proposed a law in the New York State Assembly to make it illegal to airdrop pics of your dick.
Fucking good. That was terrifying.
But it comes from the same place. That's actually what... It's because of that routine and the bit of Googling that I've done that I was asking you about, where does this thing come from?
Yeah.
They call it cyber flashing now. That's what they're calling
cyber
it.
But it's
flashing.
Also... I would imagine like if I was set... I can 100% imagine 16-year-old me living in New York on a train downloading the biggest, grossest picture of a dick I can find on Google
and thinking
airdropping
it
to everyone and just kind of looking around and being like, oh, you
thinking
look,
it's funny. Yeah, like pulling a fire alarm almost.
It's
the
so funny.
I have created this havoc.
Yeah. It's like showing your friends your balls, you know, except you're showing everyone on the train a dick. It might not even be your dick. It could be anyone's dick, you know?
Yeah.
So they're actually legislating against that.
Good.
But funnily enough, I was doing that routine in Australia and it's very much a New York thing, it looks to me. Because nobody has said it's happened to them. But when I'm in New York, so I was in New York, I did it. And this woman was like, oh my God, that happened to me. And I said, were you at the subway station? And she said, no, I was in an elevator.
That's so wild.
That's so specific. Well,
that's like
only
Scream.
A
you know,
people.
That's like, I'm looking at you.
I'm right behind
we're all
you.
So close to each other.
Yeah.
You could do it in your building. If you had good Wi-Fi, you could just drop it. And I bet you 50 people would grab it.
I got airdropped.
That would come up at the board meeting. Somebody within 100 yards of my building was airdropping a pic of his dick. And he wasn't circumcised. Who's European?
No, I got airdropped. A note saying you're cute. But it's like we were on the train and you don't know it's me. So you're just sending that to whoever is going
to. They might just be trying to spread goodwill.
It was like a phone number as well.
Oh, maybe iPhone. Maybe they were hoping it was
Yeah, they just knew it was a girl because it says Katie's iPhone. Yeah,
that's so funny.
And maybe just all the girls were cute on the train that day.
Hey, maybe. I got a dick pic in line at Disneyland once. On the airdrop.
Somebody airdropped you.
Yeah, at Disneyland, we were on the Cars ride, getting ready for Cars, and someone airdropped everyone in line a dick.
Oh, everybody in line.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so great.
It's like, not great, Katie.
I'm sorry. I'm talking. I know. Hey, that's so funny.
So there's a part of you that's like, this is horrific. Don't do that. But there's another part of you that... It's so like at the
That's
Cars.
So yeah, in Disneyland, what perfect timing to dick drop everybody.
But then people, you look up to see who it is.
I will say that people in line were laughing.
Yeah,
like there was. I'm sure that there were some people bummed out, but there were quite a few people laughing in line, like about it.
So. Yeah, but when you're on the elevator, there's no doubt who it is.
Mm-hmm. That's terrifying.
That's gnarly. Can you imagine? And he's just sitting
just
there,
just standing there, like, yep.
You should do it to women in the elevator, and then one of them airdrops a dick pic. You're like, what the fuck?
What you do is you open your phone, you Google Lorena Bobbitt, and then you just go like that.
Lorena Bobbitt?
You're fucking with the wrong bitch.
Who's Lorena Bobbitt?
It's a documentary coming out soon, and you'll know.
She cut someone up?
No, John Wade Bobbitt was a husband. He was abusing her, and she cut off his dick.
Oh, good for her.
But then he found it, and they sewed it back on, and he became a huge porn star.
Yeah.
Wow.
But there is a Netflix documentary coming out about Lorena Bobbitt.
Frankenpenis.
Which is great, because... Netflix is bringing all the references from the 90s back.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Wait, I have another idea. Sorry. You're a girl and a girl and a guy in the elevator, and the girl sends the girl a dick pic.
Yeah. Oh, the poor guy. Just
Katie, you're not
there.
Meant to get... the whole concept of this is to be horrified 100%. It's not to think of funny ways to airdrop pics of dicks.
But that is a fun prank to play on your boyfriend. As that woman is looking over at him and he's like, what is the issue here?
Oh, that is fun.
I'm
going to
do that to my boyfriend.
That is
fun. And
funny.
He's like...
But yo, listen... They have to have their AirDrop open, or they have to like not be poor.
I'll do it with a friend.
If they're poor, they won't have an iPhone. They'll have a Samsung.
I'll do it with my boyfriend and my best friend. Okay, this is great. And I'll find like a weird looking penis.
Yeah.
I'm gonna Google weird.
Guaranteed, I'm getting a complaint. So I have a Samsung. I'm not poor. All right. So before we go, because okay, Katie, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Instead of both topics, which would you prefer to talk about? Shane's experience with. A clean video or Shane's experience with having a sexual relationship with his podcast partner?
Podcast partner.
Yeah, of course. Here, you guys have kept it strictly professional always.
Yes.
Good for you.
Well, we've just met. We also have a huge age gap, which helps. But if you know my history, it's not a total barrier.
I told Shane that men who are more successful than me or can give me opportunities I find unattractive.
Because is that what you said?
I find drama.
You're
saying
anything. You wouldn't fuck me? That is bull. Let me tell you.
I won't fuck you. He's my gate opener. What's it called?
A gatekeeper.
Drama for me is very anything that could lead to.
I don't like. First of all, I
drama.
Do not like being considered a gatekeeper. Somebody called me a gatekeeper once, and I was like, I don't think so.
I don't know what that means, but you have given me a lot of opportunities. I would never shit where I eat. You have.
It's totally fine. I mean, we have a very good dynamic for this podcast. Two different generations, two different levels of sexual experience, two different senses of humor. In every way, it complements each other in a perfect way.
Yeah,
so
we didn't
bring this up as for hazard advice. What will happen?
What does the gatekeeper mean then? Did I say that?
So a gatekeeper?
No. You are correct.
No.
I just don't like when I, you know,
well,
just once
out.
Recently in an article, somebody was like, you know, one of the gatekeepers, and I was like, well, you know,
What is this, Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, I just don't like this. It's just like, I've done the things that I've done, and I guess there are certain times where I have the opportunity to give people opportunities, but at the same time, because I have never once considered myself powerful in that way, I don't like the term gatekeeper, because it gives the impression that you're aware of it, and that you're lording over the power that
you have. Yeah, it makes you feel presumptuous.
He's never been like, you know, I've given you this or anything.
Well, the worst thing is when you get called a gatekeeper in some, like, you know, historical experience where, like, I was probably still in my fucking 20s, you're calling me a fucking gatekeeper. It's like, whoa, I think you have a false impression of the power that I had.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a regular person, no matter how much power people perceive, power is perceived. I perceive myself to have no power. So all the people who are like, you have power, you're like, do I though?
Yes.
Do I though? I'm not a king. I'm just a guy. I barely can get it.
Well, especially when you're an artist yourself. You're not like a producer or, you know, you're somebody who's actually always on the hunt for another creative opportunity yourself. To then be considered a gatekeeper, it's like, well, no way. I'm just like you. I'm just somebody on the hunt.
Yeah, yeah. Working on
for
the next
opportunities.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, that's
so
neither here nor there.
You and your co-host.
Yes, yes.
You were, how long were you into the podcast when you?
We did the podcast. So I met her at my wedding. when I was marrying another woman.
And then
how all great relationships begin.
Yeah.
I had her. So I was really good friends with her boyfriend at the time, and I had never met her. He came to my wedding. He brought her as his date. I met her. My first impression of her was very, very good. She was really awesome. I like me and all my groomsmen had lightsabers. Because I'm a huge dork, and so we were all lightsaber, and we also I rented a bounce castle for my.
Please tell me your wedding was on May the 5th, May the 4th.
It wasn't. But like, so we're in the anyway. We were all goofing off lightsaber fighting, and she came to lightsaber fight with us. One of the only girls who did. It was fun. She was great. Later on, I realized she's like a nerd person, and I was doing a performance at Comic-Con. I was hanging out with her because I was hanging out with her boyfriend at the time. We became good friends. I wanted to start a podcast. She was a great fit. Same dynamic, honestly. Like, where she's a little younger than me, like 7 years younger, not as big, but still same concept as you guys, kind of. So we get together, we start the podcast, we start doing really well. About 2 years in, I get divorced, and she is like on the rocks with her boyfriend. I'm kind of like, I'm more friends with her now than him at this point because we do this podcast, we travel together, we do all this stuff. 100% friends. Have never even thought about touching her. We literally hugged maybe three times ever in the 2 years we knew each other. Like, so platonic, it couldn't be more platonic. One day, I was thinking about, I was like meditating on my divorce, and I was just like, I just want to date a woman I can stand in line at the grocery store with. Like, that's all I want, is to just be in the most boring situation possible, and then she is interesting. It's why I like hanging out with comics. They're fun for no reason, right? Good talent. So then I realized she was that person, and I was like, my brain was like, you gotta have sex with her. And it was all over from there. But she had a boyfriend, so I was like, I'm gonna bury all these feelings deep down and say nothing. I told like one of her friends, just like so I could get it off my chest, who was also my good friend. A couple months goes by. She breaks up with that guy. I tell her how I feel because I feel like it's weird between us. And I was like, I know you're not into me. I'm going to say this and we're going to go back to being friends. But I had all these thoughts. This in the spirit of being open, because we always have been. She was like, you're an idiot. We're not going to be anything, but I appreciate being honest. And then a week later, she's like, I'm in love with you.
Well, she had to have a think first.
Yeah. She had to make me feel like shit for quite some time first. So we ended up together. And like, so we dated. Like, it wasn't just like a whirlwind. Like, uh-oh, we shouldn't be sleeping together. We're podcast partners. Like, we went in on it hard. I was supposed to move to New York January of 2018, and instead I stayed one more year in Salt Lake to date her, and then the plan was both of us move to New York together this year.
Right.
I'm here alone. Didn't work out.
Now, just before you move on, were you public about this on the podcast?
We were public about it on the podcast. So at first we kept it a secret because it was like weird, and I had been divorced and she had just broken up.
With your friend.
With my friend, and she had been kind of in like this loveless relationship for some time. So we didn't want people to be like weird. Also, it's a small community and all of our friends are friends with these people, and everyone would just lose their minds if we were dating. So we kept it secret for like a couple months, and then we came out with it and we dated and we talked about dating on the podcast. We talked about having sex with each other on the podcast. You know, all sorts of that stuff. And it was really healthy. And then over a certain amount of time, I think it was a few things. My career, firstly, like I have all this momentum and I'm traveling and I had plans to move no matter what. And she kind of has dogs and is sort of less mobile than I am. Mm. So like I was going to move with or without her. And then our age difference kind of like started to come into play and our relationship fell apart. And so we broke up in November, and then it was just like, I don't know if you guys, if you've ever been brokenhearted and then tried to do a podcast with someone. It is fucking rough. Oh my God, it's so rough.
So you've kept it up.
We kept it up.
As partners.
We still do it. I'm going to leave this. I'm going to go home and we're going to podcast together tonight.
And just over the phone.
Over the phone. Yeah. We podcast remotely. But it was so rough. I don't suggest you guys sleep with each other. It was so rough. I think if we had just slept with each other, it would have been 100% manageable. Not an issue. We're both the type of person who can like disassociate. Like we could have sex and be friends. And that would have been just fine. But we like fell in love properly. Yeah. Like, she's definitely the first woman that I was ever in love with.
Oh, right.
I married my ex-wife, because I wanted to be a good friend to her. And I thought it would make her happy to marry her. Right? Not a good reason to marry someone, by the way. But when I was with Noelle, my podcast host, I was like, I feel like I want to marry this chick because like I don't give a fuck what happens to me unless I'm with her.
Yeah.
Like it was just crazy. Like I've never felt like that before.
Yeah, that's like the real love. That's like the rom-com love.
Yeah.
Exactly. Totally. And so, it's a multiple part lesson. Firstly, don't do that with business.
Yeah.
Good call, Katie. Yeah. Second part was that I'm capable of that. And, you know, I was a 31-year-old man before I'd ever fallen in love. So I kind of thought, like, that's off the table for me. So it was cool to know, like, oh, I guess I could fall in love if I needed to. And then the third thing, I love comedy more than I love anything.
Yeah. Mm,
that comes up a lot.
So it turns out, whoops-a-daisy, still comedy is, I'm actually for real in love with comedy like it's a person.
No, me too.
And completely. I would choose it over all people, 100%.
Me too. I completely agree with you. I know
and
that
we're
feeling.
All going to die alone.
Yes. Yep. Yep. Yes.
It's rough.
100%.
But I'm assuming that euthanasia will be legal by the time we get to the age where it's an issue. Thank God.
I'm just waiting for my relationship to blow up over comedy.
Yeah?
We've already had, like, he was like, so he's 33 and I guess his last partner, please stop listening now if you're listening, his last partner was 5 years, and I don't know the exact, but I think it was maybe that she didn't really want to settle and he wants to have kids and he wants all that sort of life. Mm-hmm. Which for me, when I feel like I'm gonna get sick when I even think about it. I just don't want to worry, because if you put a limit on me for kids, let's say if I have to have kids before I'm 35, that's a limit on my comedy career. That means I need to get a certain amount
just of so you know, that's actually a limit that exists regardless of your comedy career. Just so you know.
What do you mean?
You have some physiological issues.
No, that's what I mean. So I'm saying, what is the latest? Let's say I say 35, maybe, just to be, that's, you know, it's women are having kids at 35 now.
Yeah.
That's only 6 more years for me to get successful in comedy, because let's face it, no matter what you say, the woman is stuck with the kid when, you know, you physically have to be there.
Yeah.
And I don't
just like, so you know, all women deal with this in terms of if they're ambitious in any career, not just comedy.
Well, it's so hard, and it was one of our first, it was a topic he brought up for like first date, because it's really important to him that he's not going to waste his time again. And I was
you better tell this motherfucker to make some money.
Yeah. I'm going to get a vasectomy.
Good for
this year. Now, I've already, like, the consultation is done. Like, it's happening.
Yeah, no, look, good. I was just talking to a woman about, anyway, she was trying to convince her boyfriend they don't want to have kids. They've been together years, but he's terrified about the operation.
Can I say real quick? It is wild. It sucks that you have all this pressure, because, like, if I have a kid, I'm stuck with that kid. Men should feel like that. Like, that is also the reality of having a kid if you're a man.
I mean, Katie, I do think it has gotten a bit better.
I don't think you may be as stuck with it.
But the one thing you're guaranteed to be stuck with is the pregnancy and those early months.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. I don't mean, of course, and since he wants that, I'm sure he'd be an amazing father and he'd be in 110%, but I mean, then that's way down the line. But I mean, no matter what, you're physically, I have 9 months where I'm not going to be really able, once you get heavy enough, you're not going to be able to go out and do comedy.
Not
every
true.
Night.
Schumer's doing it right up to
Amy Wong,
yeah, but
Schumer.
They're successful. That's my point.
Yeah, but Ali Wong is successful because she was fucking pregnant doing the special.
Aw, thanks, Pazinski, guys. Yeah. Okay.
No, sorry. By the way, I think Ali Wong is amazing. I shouldn't dismiss, but I think one of the reasons that made that special stand out was it was pretty much, I think, the first.
It was so good she did it again.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an insult to her to say that the novelty factor was that she was pregnant and that was fun.
But there's other things. I'm just scared about having kids. I don't know.
Don't have to think about that yet.
I know, but when someone is like, okay, you know, I need this in the next few years.
But he's not done that to you, has he?
It was like, I hope this will be a conversation. I don't want to end up in another 5-year thing where it's like, good luck.
Well,
so
you got a bit of time before you need to even tell them that we're not even ready to be having that conversation.
I did. Yeah. I did. But
and
I
you
can
also
understand.
Don't know where you'll be at in a year or two.
I could be dead next year, you know?
Fair.
And I might not even be able to.
And
have
just so
children.
You know, comedy's only going to leave you empty.
I love it. I love comedy.
Because even success is not going to bring you. Whatever you think it's bringing you, it's not bringing you. Just so you know.
But it doesn't matter because I love it even
just
at the level.
Just to kill the dream.
No, because you know when you're going out and you're doing it every night, what else would you... Like, I love it. I don't care. I'm not making money off it now, but I love what I do. Like,
yeah. No, absolutely. It's great. Yeah. I know that's what triggered... I mean, I'm being cynical, but I know that's what triggered the conversation. But I just wanted to ask in relation to that, was that... the reason why you broke up, that she couldn't move on, she didn't want to move to New York, and that you needed to do this, and
the main reason is that it felt like my career was going to suffer if I stayed
in Utah, but she wouldn't move to New York.
But and didn't want to do long distance.
I felt like comedy and her weren't going to be able to like exist together.
Oh, and is she? But was she supportive of it?
She's supportive. But she's kind, smart, supportive.
And you didn't want to do long distance?
I didn't want to do long distance. I didn't want to force her in a position where she had to get rid of her dogs to move with me, and then maybe it doesn't work out and she resents me. I didn't think she wanted to come to New York. We had other issues in our relationship, but like I just didn't. There was a part of me that was like, you can sit and think about this, or you can go and do comedy. Like, you can work this relationship out, or you could just be doing comedy. Why aren't you just doing comedy? Like, that's...
So you felt not being with her felt like a liberation in terms of, like, the rest of the things you wanted to pursue
exactly.
in your life?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's maybe not the coolest thing on my part, but it's kind of like my default. Like, when I was thinking about getting divorced, there was a part of me that's like, it'll make comedy easier, just do it. And I've made so many decisions in my life that's just like, is it going to get, if it's going to make comedy easier, if it's going to get in the way of comedy, just like get rid of it.
Interesting.
So as much as I wanted to be with her and still love her very, very much, think about her all the time. It's super tough, you know, because we're maintaining a friendship. We still work together, and I plan on keeping her around in my life because I'd rather have her than not have her, even if it's like wildly painful. Yeah. But it's just like, it just wasn't gonna work. She's also so young, and she's got to figure herself out more, and she's got all this potential and things she's working towards, and I felt like my career would also get in the way of her. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I can't do anything that would make me question what I'm up to even for a second. Like, comedy is my bottom bitch. Like, she gets what she needs.
Mm-hmm. And I like how honest you are, though, because I think if I was telling this story, I'd probably be like, I also knew that it would be better for her. But you were just honest.
Yeah.
Which,
man.
I like.
No, I tell every first, every guy that I date, like the past year, that, okay, you just need to know that if there's a show, I'm canceling if we have plans. So,
oh yeah,
it can be very selfish. Yeah, but I don't.
But
care.
That'll change though, because you'll be in charge of your own schedule a lot
more
as you progress.
Yeah, now I can't say no to any spots.
Yeah, that will change.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean, I mean, it can change, but there's also like, I get, no, I just moved here. That's different.
No, but the traveling will always be a challenge for comedians. The traveling will always be a challenge in relationships.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
My thing is just like, listen, all I want is a girl who will worship me as a god and love me unconditionally, but also leave me alone.
Amen.
How is this so
you better,
hard to find?
You better become a Buddhist, because it's going to be 3 or 4 lifetimes before you find that. just so you know. Basically, all you've done is admitted that you're a man.
Yeah. Unironically, that's what I want so badly. I just want someone who is just like so into me, but also is just like, he's playing video games. I'll just sit quietly with him. Like, I don't.
But you've
know.
Also described my dream woman. Like, I want a woman who I'm so into, but she also wants me to leave her alone quite a bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also want her to. This is another thing that has been the death knell of of mini dating relationships for me is I need a woman who's wildly passionate about something.
Something.
Yes. Yeah.
I need to not feel like the best thing in her life. Yeah. If I'm the best thing she's got going on in her eyes, because I would never think that about myself. But if she thinks I'm like one of the pillars, like if I'm a thing in her life, I cannot do that. I need to be desired, not needed.
Yes.
Oh, so. Desired, not needed.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, kind
That's
of.
That's the quote.
Yeah, I love it. No.
Well, that was great. Well, yeah, you're a fantastic guest.
You were.
Thank you so much.
I'm so happy.
Yeah, I'm so glad I got here.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that.
No, no worries. I'm a big dummy. I don't know the city well enough yet. So I'm just like, anytime someone sends me an address, I just click on the button and my maps takes me there.
Listeners, I sent him to Brooklyn, but we're no, in well, the Lower East
Side. In fairness, there's a number of factors that clicked in there. Katie said, what's the address? And I just lazily sent her the address.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though I know that if that then registers as an address, when you click it, unless you put in New York, New York, it may choose the Brooklyn one.
Yes.
But however, because Katie knows that it's in the Lower East Side, first of all, I didn't know that it was going to the blue, but I also just assumed that when it got sent, it wouldn't be the Brooklyn one. But unfortunately... Yeah. You know,
50-50 shot.
What happened? it happened.
I knew as soon as I walked inside and I didn't see
not
it.
Not the
I
end
went,
of the world.
It's gone to Brooklyn.
Well, the bonus is that now you're getting an Uber home to Queens.
I'm happy about it.
As a sorry payment.
Yes.
I'll take it.
But anyway, thank you. Can you plug your stuff, please?
Oh, yeah.
I'm online at all the places, Twitter and Instagram at Shaydozer, Shaydozer. I have a podcast with the very lovely Noelle Cummings, who you may or may not know is my ex.
and is into Shibari.
Yeah, yeah, is into Shibari. She's very, very attractive. You can go find her. And we have a podcast called Freaky Geeks. We talk, it's so wildly not safe for work. I can't stress enough. Some people are like, I listened to it and you said things that I didn't expect you to say. And yeah, I'm going to say things you don't expect me to say. So you can go listen to that. It's pretty fun. And you can go. I do stand up. You'll see it on my social media.
Yeah, I was watching some of your stand up on YouTube last night. Oh. Your dry bar stuff. Oh. It was great.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll get some Irish fans. Our listenership is I'd say 75% Irish.
Oh, nice. I'm chomping at the bit to get to England. And I want to go to Ireland also so badly to do stand-up. I'm so curious what it's like
to do stand-up.
It's very
easy to organize the Irish stand-up from the point of view. I can't help you with the English stuff.
Yeah? Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, but, Des will help you.
Yeah.
His brother.
I'm a gatekeeper.
Yeah, he's a gatekeeper.
As it turns out, I don't know what I was talking about. I am a gatekeeper. Yeah,
his brother runs a great show. I love it.
I'm a Western gatekeeper. So if you need to go to Wyoming and do a show in Montana, maybe Idaho.
I want to go to Montana. It's where all the Irish horse people go there.
What?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And Kentucky.
Okay.
In Kentucky. Anyway,
we'll have you on again since I feel like we've
I'd love to. Yeah, you guys are great.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes, that is the end of the chat with Shane. Thank you to Shane. Thank you to Katie. We're back recording in New York, so the sound of honking from my apartment has returned to our podcast, but that's a bit of NYC ambiance. We'll be back next Wednesday, hump day, with an episode. Next week's episode is going to be about breaking up. We had said this week's one was, but then we got a chance to chat to Shane. Next weekend's episode is going to be about breakups. What else can I say? Nothing really. Hopefully now we'll get on Spotify. Please give us 5 stars on iTunes. Spread the word. We seem to have a quietly building base audience. It's building up nice and slow. So do spread the word. We love your feedback. Don't forget to email us, contacttheshift@gmail.com or @DesBishop on Instagram, @KatieBoyleComic on Instagram. And any breakup stories, tips about breakups, send them our way. But just keep spreading the word, and we will chat soon on The Shift. The Des Bishop podcast should be back up and running soon, too.
I'm going to throw that up on Acast and just get back to just fun chats with comics. I'm not going to try to, like, you know, do anything special with that. Now that we have the shift, which is, you know, its own animal, I'm just going back to basics with the Des Bishop podcast, fun chats with random people, you know, having some crack, talking about serious stuff. So that'll be back up soon and regular now that it's going up with Acast. So that's it. Have a good day. Enjoy your lives. I miss you. I want your feedback. I need you. Good day.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.